we think that we need to have a briefing and be empowered on what is the situation in terms of the nursing fraternity. Yes, there has been some, there's been a little bit of, should I say, misunderstanding, because I don't want to say a confusion. Misunderstanding on the training of nurses. I think that was laid bare at the Presidential Health Summit. In particular, myself, I was exposed to that in the commission. And we would like to, personally, I would like to commend the leadership of the department of trying to, in that challenge and misunderstanding, of trying to bring in some sanity. And it is out of that that again the minister called a meeting, which he then invited the chair of the committee of the leadership of nursing fraternity in all universities, the deans in particular. And in that, really, one pick up that when people are not informed, information is really power. When people are not informed, they are easily being manipulated, and then they become agitated on a matter that if then it has then been, people have been exposed to, have been informed properly, would then have they wouldn't have been that stand. When they then said to me, in the these deans, when they said to me in the Presidential Health Summit, we send a memorandum to the minister, we send a memorandum to the office of the DG, and I then said, and then? I said, but you never send a memorandum to the committee. I said, oh, we were not aware that we are to send a memorandum. It also reflects, in my view, that we can't then take it for granted as public representatives that everybody understands the role of Parliament. But I never expected that deans wouldn't be aware that if they want to their matter to be heard, it will then be heard at all levels. So that is number one. But number two is that we called the chief nursing officer because we are to really have an understanding of the state of the health of the nursing fraternity in terms of curriculum, in terms of training. I'm just thinking as I'm sitting that we should have, even if they come and observe, we should have invited higher education and training. Because in some of the you are working, and that's where I think even in that meeting with the minister, I reflected that. I said I would have appreciated if the higher education and training was part of that briefing, so that some of the areas are then being and the importance because nurses are some. At a particular time, they were holding a view that they are not taken serious by the department. They are alleging that the minister only thinks that health is about doctors. That may have been a, and ourselves also, we must also take that responsibility that maybe we couldn't, obviously we can't elevate, in my view, one section of professional health care workers above others. All of them are important, but I'm always having a but when it comes to nursing. There is no doctor. When a doctor has ordered something, who is to ensure that that happens? It's a nurse. When a patient is asking for something, who is to ensure that happens? It's a nurse. Orders are carried out, whoever ordered them, whether it's a doctor or whatever, a nurse is in the center. So if that chain, there is a weakness in that chain, it affects the entire sector. And there are a number of issues, therefore, that have been raised. Maybe we won't be able to deal with them now. Some of them have been raised by the Office of Health Standard Compliance in terms of attitudes and conduct of our health care workers, in particular nurses. But it's now coming, it's becoming serious, I would say, even if it's one nurse assaulted in a health establishment. It's one nurse too many. I have been circulated a WhatsApp by the CEO of the Office of Health Standard Compliance. A nurse has been assaulted in Limpopo. And what I'm finding it very strange, Dr. Makhanya, is that when nurses are assaulted, the community, nobody makes an issue about it. Nobody makes an issue. Nurses, and I always say to them, the Office of Health Standard Compliance, when you submit your report, I'm happy that media is here. When you submit your report on your inspections, you do highlight what people are saying, how they are treated. But healthcare workers have never been asked how they are treated by either their managers and communities. And this thing that says who care for carers. And it's a bit unfortunate. And I think it is us working together with the department and the media in ensuring that one, a true reflection is given. For instance, in Johannesburg, there was once an article, a nurse was assaulted by relatives because a patient delivered a stillborn. And on earth, how do you assault a health worker because your child or your relative has delivered a stillborn? I'm just making those examples. And at times, I do think that on how we communicate, on how we border into not appreciating the role that is being played by nurses. And we've got health activists that were there at the most difficult times in the health sector. Mama Sisulu, Mama Sobukwe, when Mama Susan Sigelelo Biko, and many others, those that are unsung. But I'm saying this profession is important like any other profession, and it is the backbone. I want somebody to tell me if doctors can do everything by themselves. And everybody can tell me, and it's quite an emotive subject for me, maybe because I'm coming from that situation. I know how our, and I am not by all means defending those that are not conducting themselves in a manner that they should conduct themselves, and it's not starting now. When we are in democracy, even at that time that we were on training, there were those nurses that had an attitude. There were those, maybe they were not as the situation is today. So I hope Dr. Makhaya, your presentation is going to make us to really take in preparing for the next administration. We then have starting with ensuring that the whole, what is the situation? Because when people are talking about the shortage of staff, the first victims are nurses. Which is they are supposed to be the victims, because they are the backbone of this profession. Having said that, honorable members, that's it's a welcoming. We have got two apologies that I've been told. Honorable Mashalela is starting in another meeting, and Vuyokazi is off sick, so we have been sent in by Mr. Brown, Llewellyn Brown, who is the Secretary of Basic Education. Now I will then introduction. I'm Lindelwa Dunjwa. I'm the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Health. I've already introduced Mr. Brown. On the extreme back is Lindokuhle, who is our content advisor. Next to her is Moses, not the one in the Bible, who is our researcher. And at the, against the wall is Mbali, who is our committee secretary. And I will then hand over to members to introduce themselves. For those that may be coming for the first time, phones are on silent. We introduce ourselves, everybody using the mic. Tell us your name and your surname and where you are coming from. Pictures are not allowed except for those guests or people that are designated to do that, who that they know themselves. And over to you, honorable members.
Good morning, Dr. S. Tembekwayo, member of the Committee on Health. Thank you very much.
Morning, I'm Ahlubanzi Majafta, member of the committee.
Good morning, my name is Mbulelo Nkonzo, a member of the Committee on Health. Thank you.
Good morning, I'm Donald W.P. Mapama, a member of this committee. Thank you.
Good morning to you. My name is Lindy Wolfson. I am a member of this portfolio committee.
I'll hand over to Doc to introduce the team, and how you do it depends on you.
Good morning, Chair, and thank you. And also good morning to the honorable members. I'm Gail Andrews. I'm the Chief Operating Officer in the National Department and also responsible for Human Resources for Health, which includes the portfolio of the Chief Nursing Officer. I'm also responsible now for oversight over the Health Professions Councils, which includes the Nursing Councils. I'll ask my team to introduce themselves.
Good morning, Chair and members of the Portfolio Committee. I'm Botusa Masaela, Deputy Director in Nursing Education and Training at the National Department of Health.
Honorable members and the chairperson, my name is Nonhlanhla Makhanya. I'm the Chief Nursing Officer from the National Department of Health.
Okay, thank you.
Good morning. My name is Ahmad Patel. I'm a member of the public.
Good morning. My name is Aisha Ali, and I'm from the Parliamentary Monitoring Group. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Tamar Khan. I'm from Business Day newspaper.
My
morning, Chair. Morning, members. This is Dr. Glass from Parliamentary Communication Services.
We will allow the member, as she is finding a seat, for her to introduce herself. Can you please switch off your mic?
Thank you very much, Chair. Good morning, everyone. My name is Nontlantla Ncobendaba. I'm a member of the Portfolio Committee.
Thank you very much. We'll hand over to you, Doc, and we don't know who's going to lead the presentation. Okay.
Christina will lead the presentation.
Sure. Honorable Chair and members of Portfolio Committee, once more, thanks for the opportunity to do a presentation on key central issues around nursing. And thank you so much, Honorable Chair, for the context that you have laid to actually premise this presentation. By way of introduction, we were given three areas that we needed to be able to brief the committee on. The first was the old consent and we need about closure of nursing colleges, and we were then directed to provide progress report on reopening of the nursing colleges and also an update on the new nursing programs and curriculum and the collaborative work that we are doing with Department of Higher Education on nursing education and programs. Chair, I would also like to indicate that the two areas that are part of the update were central to the key recommendations that were made by the Nursing Summit in 2011, and it was cognizant of the myriad of problems that are surrounding the sector, where the minister called the nursing CODESA, what she was referring to as nursing CODESA, and from there the nursing emerged with a compendium which was committing all nursing professionals to a social compact that had seven key recommendations. And one of those recommendations related to nursing education in particular, and that nursing education that is located within colleges, cognizant of the fact that the college sector historically produced 80% of nursing health professionals that are providing services across public and private health sector in this country. If one looks into those three recommendations, the first recommendation was a need for the first time to define and produce a national policy on nursing education as a new framework or instrument that would actually guide all providers that have developed over the past 20 years in the space of nursing education, so that there is coherence in management, governance, and provisioning of nursing education. And the second area was about assisting colleges being located within the higher education framework, which was seen to be emerging from as early as around 2010. So those were the two key areas, and it relates to the two areas that the committee had requested briefing on. We have structured the presentation in a manner that probably would also allow us to respond to specific questions. And the first one, the first area is around reopening of colleges. And we've looked into this in the we've approached it from a historic perspective in terms of the context of nursing education. And there are a few observations that pre-1994, nursing colleges were established either on racial basis or on TPV state or homelands. And post-94, then they became coterminous with provinces within which they were located. And that gave rise to duplication, fragmentation, and inequities, which was also inherited in terms of how resources were allocated previously. So since post-94, there's been efforts to actually try and bring order in terms of improving efficiency in resourcing of nursing education, and the major work commenced around early 2000, and around that period, the whole nine provinces created a directorate for nursing with a mandate of actually reorganizing nursing in a manner that redresses the racial discrimination, alleviate fragmentation and duplication, and improve efficiency in resourcing of nursing colleges. And probably from there, if one can take the honorable members through in terms of this history, when you look at the actual closure, when all these colleges were then located within nine provinces, there were various isolated attempts, province-based, to try and reorganize nursing education within each provinces. And going through the history, we discovered that realistically, only two provinces, it's in only two provinces where this notion of college closure took place, and that was in Eastern Cape and in Northern Cape. And in Eastern Cape, the colleges, like I've indicated, these are the list of colleges that were closed, and there was no reason why they were closed. And only one that was not necessarily closed but was part of the rationalization process, and that was all of them, although they were closed, but all of them were then opened as a different entities or as a campus, sub-campus, or clinical training unit from 2013. In Northern Cape, the colleges that were closed are listed. And the main reason that we obtained from province is that it was due to lack of funding. And the plans for that, for those, is that as we're going into offering the higher education programs within colleges, these would be reopened, and they are in the process of being reopened so that they can serve as campuses and sub-campuses because of the vastness of the province in Northern Cape, except for one, which is going to be converted into clinical training unit. And I've listed the rest of the provinces where, sorry, the next aspect besides closure, then the second attempt was rationalization. And rationalization meant that, you know, small units like in Gauteng, if there is a college, the BG Alexander Nursing College is located within the ward of the hospital, and it's too small to be a standalone, and that was then combined with a bigger college so that it's converted into campus. So if you look at rationalization, they were looking into addressing those inequities, firstly discrimination, or resource allocation, discrimination, or improve efficiency in resource allocation. And if you look at Gauteng, for instance, the college which was called, the current college now, which the college, sorry, excuse me. If you look at Gauteng we're sitting with six colleges. And in terms of that is post-rationalization. And initially they looked, in Gauteng alone, there were various colleges for the different racial groups. And if I can use the BG Alexander Nursing College for an example, it was previously designated for Indians and colored nursing students. Thank you.
are going to use a copy, but the only disadvantage is that you have to write white and not front. So you want, like, why don't they give you a glass so that you pour the water in that glass and have a seat and you are a I'll give you a remedy. I think the night
chair or the chief did state era that he came from, as you mentioned, to one community. So in Coronation Hospital, I mean Coronation College was previously designated for Indians and Coloureds, and with rationalization, that college is now designated as a center in Gauteng and the only college in Gauteng that is producing specialist nurses in all areas of specialization, be it midwifery, advanced midwifery, your primary health care, your theater technique, your intensive care or intensive care specialties. So around the 13 areas of specialization in nursing, in Gauteng in particular, they have one college that looks into that for the whole nursing community. And probably another example is an example in Limpopo, where there were three colleges in terms of the TB state and the Venda state. They had three colleges and they all came together into a one college. So basically, that is the work that was done by provinces on their own initiative between 2003 up to quite recently. And I think the other example is that somewhere around 2006 in Limpopo, there were also two colleges that were established by the then Minister of Health, and it added to the five colleges. And that is the Sekukune College and Waterberg Colleges. And those were established at a certain period of time post 2000, around 2006, 2007. So now we have, so probably if I could then, I've highlighted those examples. So then this gives us the current situation, post-rationalization. What do we have? What we have is slide number which says progress with the reopening of colleges, the current status. So the current status is that we have now 138 public sector platforms for nursing education in this country. And they are reorganized in terms of colleges, and each college would have a campus or a nursing school. And you would see that we ended up with 16 colleges because of Gauteng, a Free State, and Northwest, which post-rationalization continued to have more than one college. So this is why we have 16 colleges. And when it comes to campuses, honorable members, the campuses were designed specifically to attend to a diploma, to offer a program that is called R425, a four-year diploma in nursing. And that diploma was offered in affiliation with universities within those provinces. So the campuses are affiliated to universities. And the nursing schools, on the other hand, continued to offer the programs that lead to registration as an enrolled nurse or as a nursing assistant. Those remain completely under the administration and management by provincial Department of Health. Again, campuses
although they were offering the four-year diploma, although they were affiliated or are affiliated with colleges, with universities, universities' role is to ensure quality control in terms of the program that is offered by the college. But the site of offering and the management of program and the and administer management of the program and the funding of the program remains within the responsibility of the provincial Department of Health. And that is the current status that we have. So we then move to the next phase of reorganization of nursing colleges. As we now know that the nursing has been integrated, fully integrated into post-school systems. And the post-school system is defined in terms of the higher education prescript, and in particular, the white paper of 2014 on post-school education systems. And that system offers post-school at three levels, though categorizes post-school into three levels. Those that did not go to school at all, and that is probably level one to whatever, and those that went to school and did not finish. And the measure of finishing is writing and getting a result related to what we call matric, the National Senior Certificate. That is classified as you as being finished because you exit there with an indication of successful completion of high school, sorry, of post-school education. As nursing, as you would know, now is now classified from level 5 to level 10, and I'll get to that. And it is fully incorporated into post-school systems. What it means then is that we needed to then reorganize our whole nursing education system that is based in the college from the structural position to programs, to clinical training platform, so that they can now be re-accredited by the Council of Higher Education in relation to our nursing council for offering, because Quality Council on Higher Education is the only council that is designated by the provisions of Higher Education Act to quality assure all post-school programs that are at level 5 to level 10. If I could just make an easy example to understand, community health workers are level 4, and nursing assistant is level 5, just to make an understanding in terms of the grading of post-school classification. And one of the requirements then for the colleges to be re-accredited is that in terms we need to comply with the criteria that leads to re-accreditation. And one of the criteria is that colleges, before they can be accredited, they must demonstrate their reason for existence in terms of responsiveness to health needs of the area where they are located, in terms of efficiency in utilization of resources, and in terms of promotion of access to access to higher education, if one can put it that way, and colleges needed then to be reorganized around that area. As a result, now colleges have been rearranged. Oh, sorry. The one thing that I didn't say is that all these colleges during the re-establishment, they were re-established in terms of provincial ordinances, prescripts that existed in provinces, and they were done by the MECs for health in each of the provinces. However, as we looked into now what is called in higher education differentiation, colleges had to reorganize themselves in terms of those areas that I have mentioned. And one college that, remember I said, Gauteng, they still had six colleges. They have also the MEC in preparation for the new qualifications. The MEC has re-established the provincial college in Gauteng into one, with all these other five becoming campuses to offer the various programs. Rahima Musa, that I made an example of being a standalone college offering postgraduate program, is now a campus of Gauteng College of Nursing. And that's in terms of regionalization of resources. An example, a classic example of reorganizing in terms of promoting access is an example of Eastern Cape in Seclas. They have a Seclas College, which is close, which is within the premise of Seclas Hospital, which is a district hospital, a very rich clinical training platform for training midwives, for instance. But when we're looking into the new programs that are going to be offered, Eastern Cape said, for Seclas, we are only going to offer higher certificate in nursing that leads to a registration as a nursing assistant in layman's language or auxiliary nurse, because we are promoting access to the potential pool of matriculants in this area. They said in this district, in terms of high school performance, most of the learners, because of the rurality and other classification in higher education, the majority of learners obtain national senior certificates that allows them to do a higher certificate. So if they want to do a higher certificate program in nursing, they must be able to find a college that offers that. So that was the justification for that. So now we have currently colleges, we're going to slide. The slide that says colleges to be declared by DHET. So like I indicated, that all along this rationalization was done by provincial administration or heads of provincial administration, members of the executive committee within the provinces in relation to the provincial needs rationalization within provinces. But now that we'll be offering the national qualifications, there needs to be standardization across the country, and the colleges now has to be established as one college per provinces with all existing structures that were used for nursing education redesignated as campuses, sub-campuses, or alternatively, and most importantly, those structures like all nursing schools that were located within hospitals as part of a hospital, that is going to be used as the hospital-based clinical training platform, because one of the problems is that we need to be able to produce nurses that have excellent clinical competencies, and the primary platform for gaining that is in hospital, where all the profile of conditions take place, which will give them that opportunity to gain all those clinical skills that they require. So these colleges have all been certified as provincial college. And in terms of efficiency, with one principal, we don't have six principals now like we did in Gauteng. It's all one principal, one college budget, and not budget for all these colleges and campuses. And they've been submitted to higher education to be declared in terms of the provisions of Higher Education Act. So these are the 10 colleges. We say 10 because we also include a college in the military health services they are, we are also working with them in this positioning of colleges within higher education framework. So this is why we have 10 colleges. We refer to 10 colleges. And those are listed. And they have been they have been submitted. I have indicated that probably honorable members, I need to indicate that this brings to closure the component about closure and reopening of colleges. And I'm now getting into the current state, the progress with the development of the new programs and curriculum. Although this work is quite integrated. So we are on the slide that says update on the new nursing program and curriculum. So colleges, now that they are part of the higher education landscape, they need to be declared as such by the Minister of Higher Education as the only custodian of higher education. And this work of positioning colleges culminated that in 2017, the Higher Education Act was amended and to provide for a new institutional type within higher education. So for the first time, colleges are defined as part, as an institutional type that provides higher education programs. And once as they are defined, then the Act allows that for them, now that they are defined, they would need to be declared as such by the Minister of Higher Education before the programs that they have developed can be accredited by the Council on Higher Education. If I can also make a reference previously that the only program that colleges were able to offer was through an affiliation arrangement with nursing, with universities. But that arrangement is no longer necessary because colleges can now be declared as standalone in institutions that provide the programs that fall into higher education base. I've also provided a slide that tries to explain, and like you notice that it says courtesy Free State University. They had a research day in Free State about 3 weeks ago, and we're invited, and one of the professors there was explaining the move to the province, the change from the old to the new, and presented this slide, which I find quite explicit in actually explaining the old and the new qualifications, just for members' interest, and I'm not going to delve much, except that probably if you look at the new qualifications, like I indicated briefly, that nursing being a post-school, it's for people who have successfully finished matric. And on successful completion, they got a certificate that says you have met all the requirements that allows you to do any higher certificate in any field that you want. Or you have got, you can do a national diploma in any field that you want, or you can do a bachelor degree in any field that you want. So what the profession did in 2009, they actually then said, what would be a national higher certificate in nursing? And that was looked and classified as a qualification leading to registration with the nursing council to be an auxiliary nurse. And we then aligned our national diploma, and our national diploma leads, it's a qualification that leads to registration as a general nurse. And our bachelor's degree leads to a qualification of a professional nurse. And the bachelor's degree is only newly defined in terms of the change of content, but it would continue to be offered as it was offered by universities previously. So I've just provided this slide just to clarify the change from the old to the new. So against these new qualifications, the Nursing Act still provides for three categories of nurses in this country, and that is a nursing assistant, a general nurse, which is a new category, and a professional nurse. A general nurse is a nurse that is previously we used to have a staff nurse or an enrolled nurse, which was the product of a two-year diploma. The general nurse will produce somebody who is much more competent than the old staff nurse, who is able to manage low-grade conditions within the primary health care system, and therefore increasing access at primary health care level of nurses that are independent and comprehensively trained to deal with the ailments at primary health care level. Remember, the old staff nurse needed to function under the supervision of professional nurses. And this generalist nurse would be an independent nurse who is accountable for her own acts and omission. Hence, the duration for preparation is 3 years and leading to a professional diploma, which is defined within professional diploma within the national qualifications framework area. But for us, it will increase the pool of nurses that are functioning at primary healthcare level and relieve professional nurses from, in addition to do their professional nurses responsibility, they were still expected to do the advisory role to these two categories. So in terms of the programs, now I'm getting into the area of progress with preparation of new programs and the new curriculum. The new curriculum and the new program started a while ago, but the main, let me put it this way, the profession in terms of aligning this profession, we sat back and said, we now have to offer this qualification in our own platforms, which is our colleges. And then let's try and prioritize responsiveness to national health priorities and provincial and specific provincial health needs, and be able to offer programs that would lead to produce nurses that are able to be responsive at that level. So we then defined that in the first instance, we will start offering a three-year diploma. And this three-year diploma is leading to this new generalist nurse, which is a new qualification. The reason why, there are various reasons. The one reason is about responsiveness. These people would be able to work comprehensively within a primary healthcare, re-engineered primary healthcare, thus contributing positively to the principle of universal access to healthcare nurses, to healthcare, where nurses are almost the frontline service provider for anybody who comes within the healthcare facility. So that was the thinking. The second program, and again, the other competitive advantage we had is that these colleges had been offering a four-year diploma for years, since 1984. So in terms of resources, they must be relatively capable of offering a three-year diploma. There would be tweaking here and there. And that tweaking mainly has been on the curriculum. But the infrastructure in terms of clinical training is there. The infrastructure in terms of lecturers is there. All other infrastructure is there except for the curriculum that needed to be redone again. The second rationale, the second program that we was prioritized by the profession is a new diploma, which is a diploma in an advanced diploma in midwifery. And if you look at the diagram that demonstrates progression in articulation, the generalist nurse is put at level 6, and the advanced diploma is at level 7, which means the important principle of being to move from one program to the other through is provided for in our qualification. And then we prioritize midwifery in the first instance. And again, we felt that advanced midwifery program would allow nurses to be able to respond to the burden of the, if you look at the quadruple burden of disease, maternal and child is the highest. And if we prioritize midwifery, nurses would be able to respond directly to that. And then the other area then is postgraduate specialization, which would be in the various other areas. If you look at this justification slide, these programs would be offered from 2020 in a phased-in approach, but starting with a three-year diploma, all colleges in January 28 would be offering a 2020, they would be offering a three-year diploma. And all colleges, then they have their five-year enrollment plan that are then in introducing other programs. For instance, we made midwifery as one of the advanced diploma, but we have time. Next year, we have time to start consolidating all advanced diploma. While we have midwifery, probably other provinces would say, in addition to midwifery, we have capacity, like Gauteng, which previously had 5 colleges. We have capacity to introduce an advanced diploma in psychiatric nursing, for instance, to deal with the burden of mental health problems, or oncology to deal with the burden. But those would be defined as we go along. The reason why we're looking at what do we do now is because 2019 was gazetted by the Minister of Higher Education in 2016 as the last date for anybody who is offering the old qualification. In nursing, it's what we have as legacy qualification. But any provider of any of the 12 learning areas, occupational learning areas that are defined in higher education, those programs are coming to an end, not only in nursing, but in every other area as well. So, and they said by January 2020, unless you have these new programs, then you'll be falling out of space. So we have managed then to remain relevant by being ready and ready to offer the new qualifications within colleges from 2020. And in like I indicated, that the main thing that needed preparation was really the curriculum. So we've been working with colleges from 2015. We actually conducted a pilot project to assess what would it take for colleges to offer the new higher education program within their current platforms. And that helped us to generate 3 programs. And as a result, based on that lessons, all 10 colleges were have developed their curriculum. They were submitted to the Council for Higher Education for accreditation, and they were also submitted to the Nursing Council in compliance with the precept that any qualification that leads to professional qualification must be endorsed by the relevant professional body. So we were given 31st of August as the last date of submitting the new NQF aligned qualification, and all colleges except for Northern Cape managed to upload their new programs, and we are still working and trying to support Northern Cape so that they can also upload, especially because Northern Cape has only one college, which is Henrietta Stockdale, with its history in terms of the history of nursing in this country. So in terms of readiness, all colleges have met requirements, finalized program development for the three-year diploma, and all colleges, and it is part of our APP, that all colleges next year would be supported to then go through the same exercise for the advanced diploma in midwifery or psychiatry or oncology, depending on what they want to do. Concurrently, universities are continuing with their bachelor's and their postgraduate diploma. However, they still also, although they are located in higher education, they did not have to do anything in terms of location, but their programs are also classified as legacy qualifications. In terms of the new requirements of DHEC, they also need to recalculate in terms of the bachelor's that they are going to offer and the post-basic that they are going to offer. After the meeting that the Honorable Chair alluded to, then we realized the need to work together with universities, because our preoccupation was that it's only colleges that are outside that needs to be assisted. But then we realized we have plans now that beginning of the year, we will meet with universities who have their own, then they will present their five-year plan in terms of postgraduate diploma, and then we will present the colleges so that as we all start in 2020, there are no gaps in terms of production. There is no time when the college is still focusing on the diploma and the university is focusing, say, on whatever, and probably there is a gap in postgraduate diploma. So we will work together to synchronize our five-year enrollment plans so that we can make sure that there is no gap in the production of career-oriented and service directed nurses.
As you are making a presentation, because you have been in that space for long. Now, the other information that is very important for us is not here. Now, then going to be, I've been looking into them, I see the other levels they have been subjected. Can I have a request that just take us through this on what is here, and then maybe as questions are being asked, but I can say upfront, you need to enrich that. Because remember that as we will be handing over to the next administration, there must be an information that we are also empowered on, so that we are then able to lead. It's quite a very important information, but the dissertation that is not here. So take us through on what is here. Don't elaborate more. Because the more you elaborate, the more you are then raising very important issues which are not on paper. And for the committee, that is very problematic. I hope we, I'm not dislodging you, just try assist her to just, because I'm of the understanding that now you are on the slide that says update on the new nursing program and curriculum number 2. And if I'm correct, fit into that as here you will ask relevant questions. If you don't have that information, it's fine, but please stick into that. I hope that you have the
information. Thanks, Chair, for that guidance. And the Chair, direct, I have just completed the new programs and curriculum with justification. And the next slide was preparation for accreditation by DHET, and that is where I'm saying that guided by the resolution of CHE, all colleges were then supported to develop a customized curriculum that are based on All colleges have been supported to develop a customized curriculum that we learned from the pilot project, and those were submitted were uploaded by 31st of August. And as I indicated, all colleges except Northern Cape met the date for uploading, and therefore it means that all colleges except Northern Cape have met readiness in terms of program and curriculum development. And that responds directly to the second point on the progress on the program and curriculum development. Chair, then I'm moving to the last area, which is progress on collaboration with Department of Higher Education. And the program development also has included engagement for working with higher education. The focus on this collaboration is the work that is required in terms of the Act, in terms of the declaration of colleges. And the first slide provides the context to say that the white paper actually indicated that all colleges needed to remain to where they are until a further determination is made. So that determination was to be done through an open engagement between the two ministers, Minister of Health and Minister of Education, in terms of location of colleges. And that was mandated by the provisions of the White Paper of 1997. And then Chair, I have moved into a slide that starts with September 2014, which is really the timeline of the work that we have been doing jointly with the Department of Higher Education. But it is all premised in the sense that we need to fit an approach that we took based on the directive of the Act that the two ministers need to meet. As technical people, we met our departments, the Department of Health, Department of Higher Education, with our Quality Council, which is the Council on Higher Education, and the Nursing Council. We sat together and proposed an approach to the ministers, and that approach culminated in the letter that was written by the Minister of Higher Education in July 2017, and the letter said, I am ready to declare colleges on basis of the work that we have done. And that takes me then to the timelines in terms of from 2014, when the office was established, what work was done. In September 2014, that's a common approach between the two departments, and the Quality Council was determined. And that approach was to say, we would like to retain colleges as primary training platform, and what would be the requirement from you, higher education, for us to do that. And then it was followed by a joint submission to the two ministers who said, go and make it work. We accept and agree on the position that colleges must be retained as primary platform, but make it work whichever way that find a way that is administrative and legally and academically sound. And then the higher education then commissioned a feasibility study in 2015. And that feasibility study was to actually advise the minister on the options of offering this joint work. And in 2015, and as the Honorable Chair indicated, in 2015, we were then directed to brief the Portfolio Committee on Higher Education on progress on this work, because this work primarily was the mandate of higher education to assist the Department of Health locating colleges. And in 2016, the outcome of the feasibility study was communicated to the end of 2016 to the Department of Health, and the feasibility study was offering the options for offering, including the option that colleges can be a standalone entities in offering the new qualification. When this was presented, then again the Minister of Higher Education commissioned that let's look into the results of the feasibility study and test the legality of that. And that was done in September 2016 by the Minister of Higher Education. And in 2017, then the Proclamation of Higher Education Amendment Act, which is also then providing of colleges as an institutional type for offering the new qualification. In 2017, the Department of Higher Education then intended to initiate a process of declaration by proposing a public statement that needed to be signed jointly by the ministers to the Department of Health. And when this was presented to the Department of Health, the Department of Health also needed a commission sanction for a legal opinion from the health side, because this legal opinion was only done by Department of Higher Education. And the legal opinion by NDOH was then obtained in December 2017, also affirming or in concurrence with the decision of the legal opinion of higher education. So beginning of the year, when this legal opinion was then presented, then we were directed that there needs to be confidence with that is presented, so evidence that is presented that actually outlines the state of readiness of these colleges to be declared. And an exercise of doing a state of readiness using all the instruments that determine that was conducted and completed and presented to the NHC technical team, and it was also presented and approved by the NHC. And then in 2018, based on the state of readiness of the colleges to be declared, then the Minister of Health then wrote a letter to the Minister of Higher Education giving her the 10 colleges that are ready to be declared for them to initiate a process as prescribed by the Higher Education Act.
Thank you very much. No, thank you very much. Members, there's the presentation, questions, comments, clarifications,
Thank you very much, Chair, and firstly, I want to welcome the report. It would be
from 2014 up until the end of our term, I was thinking that by this time, we should be talking about something that is concrete, that you're done, you're starting next year. But for me, even when you're presenting it, you know, I'm